So one of the great strengths of our current election process that's going on right now is that everyone is seeking understanding. And everyone is listening to one another and finding out other points of view. Ha 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 ha.
If only.
Thomas Merton said, "We live in a society whose policy is to excite every nerve in the human body and keep it at the highest pitch of artificial tension, to strain every human desire to the limit, and to create as many new desires and synthetic passions as possible." He wrote these words in 1948. What would he say now? The louder the better, the bigger the better, the most successful the better. In 2016, we have access to more knowledge than anyone else in the history of the world. And yet we are stuck looking at our phones, checking emails, and we cannot hear or see the world around us. We cannot truly listen to anything or anyone. That doesn't bode well for those of us who follow Jesus. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." In fact, our word comes from a family of words from the Latin, obierde, which kind of sounds like audio. It means listen, but it also means obey. To listen in the ancient world was to put all of one's faculties, not just the ears, into the task. In fact, if you look at the Chinese language, the Chinese characters for listen include the ears, the eyes, the undivided attention, and the heart. I'd venture to say that most relationship problems we are having right now in our lives at this moment has something to do with the ability to listen or the inability to listen. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So how do we get there? First, we have to know the shepherd, the shepherd. And when Jesus talks of shepherds, he's thinking of those who face the extremes of the desert to care for the sheep. There are a host of dangers. Commentator Gary Burge says, "During the bulk of the year, the desert is inhospitable to life. Water is scarce, food is rare, and dangers are everywhere. The eastern deserts of Judea have steep eroded cliffs that present a drop of 1,000 feet in many places." That's not to say anything about the wild animals, the thieves and bandits, and the hired hands who would flee at any sign of danger. Jesus describes all of those in John 10. Psalm 23, the great comfort, the great comforting psalm. If you just think about some of the phrases used in that comforting psalm, the valley of the shadow of death, my enemies, evil, all of these things are things that shepherds must face. In the ancient world, the shepherd will give his life for the sheep. The shepherd would risk all to find one sheep who was lost. He would go to any extreme, even if the lost sheep falls into a crevice of rock. Burge again. Excuse me. "When the shepherd finds the sheep, he hoists it on his shoulders and climbs out. And these are no level desert vistas. The Judean wilderness is a rocky and irregular place with deep valleys. To climb out alone is hard. To climb out with a 50-pound sheep on your back is extreme." But to know the shepherd is to know the one who gives his life for the sheep. When you know him, you can begin to hear, and you can begin to follow. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We have two baptisms today. And baptism is the first step in this process of listening and following the good shepherd. Now, how old do you have to be to begin to follow Christ? I was on a panel this past Monday night at Colorado Christian University, and there were five of us. It was sort of like a debate, and I was the only one who held to infant baptism, and needless to say, it was quite the discussion. But how old do you have to be to begin following Jesus? I would say day one. And baptism is an acknowledgement of that. Initially, the child will watch. Initially, the parents are kind of like the good shepherd. Then the child sees how the parents follow the good shepherd. And eventually, the child is on their own to follow Jesus on their own. To listen to Jesus, we have to live a life that is based on those baptismal promises. But we cannot do that alone. Which is why my policy for baptism is, unless it's really an extreme situation, you don't have a private baptism. It is in front of the church. It is for all of us to support and to hold the folks accountable for their baptismal promises. Now, Scripture uses a term for baptism in the book of Acts, and Paul actually mentions it in 1 Corinthians. And it's the term oikos. Now, you thought that oikos was yogurt. But oikos is actually the word household. And so when Lydia, a wealthy woman, is converted to Christ, she and her whole household are baptized. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, he's talking about the fact that he didn't do very many baptisms himself, but that he baptized the household of Stephanas. Now that's a technical term in the ancient world. It means the head of the house, the servants in the house, grandma and grandpa, and all the babies running around in the house. So it's very likely that the household of Stephanas, the household of Lydia, included children as well. This is why we baptize infants and adults. They're not opposed to each other. It's not an either or. We do this not just because the early church did this, but because it speaks of the great blessing and responsibility that the church has to bring all of its members into the death and resurrection of Jesus, as well as sharing in the Holy Spirit. We are the household of the church, and we go through the waters of baptism together. And we say of water, in it we are buried with Christ. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Then we begin to learn how to listen and how to hear the voice of Jesus. Robert Shippey says, listening requires rearranging selfish preoccupations that include our perspectives, beliefs, knowledge, and relationships so that divine love is at the center of who we are called to be. We have a difficult task in our day to help children, grandchildren, and everybody to hear, to listen, and to obey. But we are all here to help. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus, and they follow me. I close with a quote from Joan Chittister. She says, listen with the lover's ear. Listen for that voice of God. Listen in your own heart for the sound of truth. the kind that comes when a piece of quality crystal is struck by a metal rod. Our modern life does not prepare us for the slow and tedious task of listening and learning over and over, day after day, until we can finally hear the people we love and love the people we've learned to dislike and grow to understand how holiness is here and now for us. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me.